going to look at our responsibility about what to do with the knowledge and how to get knowledge and things of that nature. Turn to Proverbs 10:14. Solomon says, "Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." Chapters 1 through 9, we have a contrast of the wise and the foolish. And so look also at Proverbs 19:2. "Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet." So we see what knowledge can do for us in these passages. It is the duty of every Christian to grow in knowledge. We need to make the choice, but in one sense, it's not a choice, it's a command. So question one, I ask you, how is knowledge acquired? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is about Timothy's childhood that we all know about. Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Okay, turn to chapter 3. Linda, would you read verse 15 through 17?
"That from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work."
So, how did Timothy get his knowledge?
His mother and his grandmother.
His mother and his grandmother. But it wasn't
teaching him the sacred writings.
Yeah, it wasn't just telling stories, or it was the sacred writings, as I said. Look at Ephesians 3. Nadine, would you read Ephesians 3:4?
"By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ."
So, I heard Steve talk about this verse a lot. And one time I had a class on reading, and this is one of the verses I used. We have a responsibility to read about the mysteries that Paul taught about and preached about. Can anybody quote Romans 10:17?
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
The word of God, the same thing that we were talking about Timothy. If y'all have anything else on how knowledge is acquired? Okay.
One thing I thought about was in the Old Testament. One way our children acquire knowledge is through us teaching them. And that was over and over in the Old Testament. They were to teach them to their children, teach these things to their children. And we miss, if we're not diligent in that, we miss a big opportunity to help our children have knowledge. But also, while we're teaching them knowledge, we're gaining knowledge. Because mm-hmm. the teacher always learns more than the student.
Right.
And so, but it was just interesting to me in the Old Testament how many times they told them, when you rise up, when you sit down, when you're walking, whatever you're doing, take time to talk to your children.
I am very, very encouraged. I know a lot of young women personally that I know are teaching their children. They're reading the Bible stories and they're teaching them the Bible, and that is so encouraging to me.
I thought it was interesting that through the law comes the knowledge of sin. That's Romans 3:20. And then Paul goes into the explanation of faith and grace and all this. So we would not know what sin is and look for the remedy that was in Christ Jesus. That was for the Jews and also for the Greeks.
Right.
And so without knowledge of his word, we don't know what our need is. And so, you know, that we wouldn't think we had a need like the Jews of Christ's day.
Right. And along with that, we're going to look at some of those things you're talking about, that we've got to have the knowledge if it's going to help us. Turn to 2 Peter 1. This might be the first scripture that comes to mind when we think of studying knowledge. Peter's talking about being partakers of the divine nature. And in verse 3, he talks about that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That's what we've been talking about. The knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And then verse 5 through 7 lists all the things that we're supposed to increase in, and knowledge is one of those things. So, Melissa, would you read verse 8 through 11?
For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from the former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you.
Thank you. So why is knowledge required in this passage? We have to be what?
Fruitful.
Fruitful. That's the word I'm looking for. So we need to increase in these things that Peter talks about, and knowledge is one of them. So not to be unfruitful, he said, or short-sighted. And if we're short-sighted, it makes us forget what?
Salvation and the desire of Christ.
That we were cleansed.
Yeah.
At the salvation. Also, not to stumble. And the salvation gives us an entrance into heaven. We need to be productive. There's no in-between, there's no gray area. God wants us to be productive. And one of the things we need to increase in is this knowledge that we're talking about. Any comments on 2 Peter? Turn to Ephesians 6. Look at the armor of God, the whole armor of God. Kat, would you read verse 10 through 13?
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm.
Then he goes on to list the different things that can help us. Verse 14 is truth. Verse 15 is preparation of the gospel. 16 is faith. 17 is salvation. 18 is praying always. And verse 17 at the end, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what we've been talking about, that we have to increase. We need knowledge in the Word of God. Any comments on Ephesians 6? I have Satan's subtle tricks to defeat Christians. And in 2nd, we don't have to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 11:3, you know, we're only 3 chapters into the Bible, and we've got the story of Eve. And so this knowledge, as we were talking about just a minute ago, will help us to defeat Satan. I had up in verse, where we first read, I have verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Did y'all have anything different for Ephesians 6? Why is knowledge required?
We have an example of people who didn't have knowledge. They forgot God's word. And see what happened to them. The Israelites, God gave them. And at one point they even lost it. They found it. Josiah. It was found in Josiah's time. And when he read it, he tore his clothes. Every king was supposed to write the law for himself, so he would know what it was. He was to have it read to him regularly, but they didn't do that. And so why would we think we would be any different than them if we do not acquire this knowledge? That's why God requires it of us, so we can be things.
You know, Romans 1 talks about, and I'm sure you're on what problems and, you know, how people destroy it and that kind of thing, you know, for the lack of that. But Romans 1 talks about the wrath of God being against those people who suppress the truth. And, you know, well, if we don't look to the truth, you know, to have a heart to know it and to obey it, then we fall in that. And then all the evil things that befall people do that. Finally, of course, the wrath of God. But he allows them to fall into all kinds of degradation. And so, you know, there's no excuse, he says there.
He just gave them up. Now, I have that yeah, I have that on number 4. You know, almost every Bible class we have, we seem to come back to Romans 1 because it's such a valuable scripture. They're all valuable, but we study that very often.
You know, you started out with Proverbs, you know, the foolish and the wise. The wise are the ones who accept the knowledge, the fear of the Lord and the knowledge He gives. The foolish are that because they don't want to know the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And are choose not to listen to it or obey it. But that's the foolish man, you know, all mm-hmm. the Proverbs in those verses that you read, you know, good examples of what happens when people fall in that.
Okay, turn to Ephesians 4. this has to do with maturity. Sally, would you read Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 14?
He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
So the knowledge in this passage will help us be complete, which means mature. If we don't make it part of our lives to study and to learn more about the Bible, then we're not, it's not going to help us be mature. We have He's listed the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They all help with that. Verse 12 talks about the edification of the for the saints. Verse 14 is just what Pat was talking about, the Israelites. If we don't have knowledge, we're going to be like, I think there's a sin that, psalm that talks about the reed in the wind. It blows, I think of that when I read this verse. It just, the wind blows it this way and that way. If we don't take time to study and prepare ourselves, Paul said, we'll be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Have we all known people that that's happened to because they didn't study? Yes, we do. So this is a good passage for that. Look at Romans 15:4.
What was that?
Romans 15:4. This is what something else knowledge can do for us. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. When I read this, I see that knowledge of the scriptures, of the word of God, the gospel, it gives us comfort and it gives us hope. So that's another reason why knowledge is required. Okay, anything else on number two? Okay, I ask you to list verses that show why we need to study. One that I had was Hebrews 5:12, to become teachers that we've just been reading about. The writer says, for those by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone else to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So the writer is saying that you should have been further along. They weren't working on learning knowledge and applying it to their lives. Turn over one chapter to 4:12. This to me, this goes along with the whole armor of God that we read about. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. What did y'all have?
2 Timothy 2:15.
You want to read that?
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay. And the very next verse talks about shunning profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more godliness. We were talking about in 2 Peter the things that we need to increase in. But if we don't study, show ourselves approved, according to Paul, we could increase in idle babblings. Is that going to help the church? No. Okay, anybody else?
Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said something in Matthew 7:21 that stays with me. He says, men will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not done many good things in thy name? And, you know, he turns around and he says, I'll say to you, I never knew you, but you need to do the word of God. You know, you need to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. So how are we going? Many of us say, we want to know, and we say, Lord, Lord, there are a lot of people who name Jesus, you know, so forth and so on. But they have zeal without knowledge. And so without the knowledge of what Jesus teaches and adherence to it, we're going to be piled into that. And we don't want on Judgment Day to, because we've been lax in examining what we believe, which is also, you know, talked about in so many verses.
Mm-hmm.
Thessalonians, you know, they examine, test the spirits, you know, wherever, to see if they're so. Because our eternity depends on it.
I put 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You know, I think about this raising children and sending them out into the world. You know, you want to get them to this point where they know enough that when they go out there, they're going to be bombarded with things that they haven't been taught at home. They need to be able to give a defense as to why they believe what they believe. That means well as me, of course. But but I can't give that to them if I'm not studying myself. Ezra 7:10 talks about, you know, he set his mind that he was going to learn it so that he could teach it to Israel. And that was another verse I put down to.
And you know what your comment reminds me of is just what we're studying in class. We're studying about how to make a defense against the premillennial doctrine. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. I'm already there. Actually, 2:1 and 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. First of all, we've already talked about this. How can we lay aside malice? How can we recognize deceit if we don't have any knowledge, if we're not working on it? Hypocrisy. That reminds me of the Pharisees. And envy. We don't want to envy one another. And all evil speaking. And verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. This word desire does not mean I need some new bath towels. I need a different color. This word desire means to long for. We should long for the word that we're talking about. Anybody else?
Something that came to mind is Psalm 119. Over and over and over it talks about the word of God. And it just extols the word of God. And back in Timothy, when he was teaching him, the next verse is, all scripture is inspired of God. And if we read the Old Testament and some of these things, that's what Timothy was to dwell on. And that's what I think Psalm 19 helps us do. If we read all the things there that the word does for us.
Paul writes in Philippians 1:9, 10, and 11 about he's praying for the Philippian brethren, and he says that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. You know, and he talks about people being destroyed because they didn't have a love for the truth. You know, wrong. But he's talking here about loving truth and knowledge and discernment, that you may approve that things are excellent, in order to be sincere, blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness. So, you know, it gives us, we are to love, and just like Ezra did, love the truth, go after it, want to know it, want to teach it. You know, he wanted to be right, and he wanted everybody around him to be right. And so that has true love.
Colossians 3:8-10 talks about putting on the new man. And there's a phrase that is really helpful. We won't read that whole passage, but let's see.
Verse 10.
Oh, I thought it was verse 10. Are you, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all. No, I'm in, no wonder I can't find it. I'm in chapter 2. Sorry. Okay. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. Yes, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So this is just so applicable to everything that we've mentioned today, that we've talked about. And I just want to mention Ephesians 5. This whole chapter is talking about our walk. Verse 1 through 7 is talking about walking in love. Verse 1 says to imitate God, and then walk in love is how we imitate God as Christ who has loved us. And then verse 3 through 7 lists a lot of the things we've been talking about. Verse 3 says, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. What is going to help us with these sins, not to even be named among us, is the knowledge of the gospel. And verse 6, again, let no one see you with empty words. That keeps coming up. We have to have this knowledge so that we can recognize these empty words. Verse 7 says, do not be partakers with them. And then verse 8 through 14 is talking about walking in love. Walking in the light. We need to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. We find that out by our study and increasing in our knowledge. And then verse 15 through 21 is walking in wisdom. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Therefore, do not be unwise. Again, understand what the will of the Lord is. Anything else? Okay, number 4 is talking, I want to look at this. This has been mentioned about the Israelites. Turn to Hosea, chapter 4. Susan Dunbar, would you read verse 1 and verse 6? Susan Hendrick, would you read 6:6?
For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering.
So we see in 6:6 how important knowledge was to God. So I ask you, how are people destroyed for a lack of knowledge?
When they reject knowledge.
And we can do the same thing today.
they worship in a way that's not pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
And their moral and spiritual life goes to the pits. I mean, these people starting in, you know, you had verse 1, but in verse 2 and so forth and so on, they're swearing and they're murderous and they're stealing and they're in adultery, all down through there, you know. And
right.
They're violent and things. So that's what happens when they don't have knowledge.
This is a product of rejecting God and His knowledge. God said that they went into captivity because they have no knowledge. There's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. That's pretty strong to say there is none.
Sandra, when you take away the word of God, there's no standard. Mm-hmm. There's no right or wrong. There's my next right. My opinion is as good as your opinion, and if I think it's okay for me to kill you, who are you to say that I can't? You've got what I want. I can take it. If there's no ought. And that's why people don't like God's word. Because when you say, I believe in God, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God, then there's an I ought. I mm-hmm. ought to obey Him. If I want His blessing, I have to obey Him. I ought to do this or that. And they don't want to. And it's we're living in a world, in one sense, where there is no standard. We see it all over with the riots, and nothing's done about it. We see people killed, and the people that kill them the next day, they're back out on the street to kill somebody else. There's no... God expects punishment for wrongdoing, and that's why He set up government. He said that. For evildoers, He set up government to stop the evildoers, to protect the people who are trying to be good. But we don't have any of that in so many places. We're blessed here in Texas, at least. But in some places, that doesn't work that way. And so that's why it's so important for us to have this knowledge and teach ourselves and anybody else that we can get to listen, and especially our children, our grandchildren, even our great-grandchildren. And it's good to spend time with them doing fun things, but sometimes we need to make God's word fun. Not only fun, but make it important to them. Mm-hmm. And realize the importance of it. It's more important than having fun. But that's what happens if we don't have this knowledge. Without it, we're destroyed.
As the Israelites were.
In your passage there in Isaiah 5:13 about them going into exile, you know, for lack of knowledge, they had plenty of prophets. It wasn't because they didn't have knowledge of what God said. They didn't want to hear a prophet, but they didn't want to hear it, and they didn't obey it. You know, they just turned their ears were dull. They liked what they were doing, and they thought that they were God's people, and we can, you know, they just didn't. But in verse 16 of chapter 5, the Lord will be exalted in judgment. The Holy God will show Himself holy in righteousness. They're not going to get away. These people not only went into exile, but in the very next verse talks about hell, Sheol, they're going down. And the grave, you know, whatever you want to make of that, you know. He will have His righteousness. He doesn't put up with it.
And nobody in this world has an excuse not to know God's word today.
That's right.
You see people, the poorest of the people that you can see, and they've got a cell phone. And for nothing, they can get God's word for free over the internet. So if they really want to know what God wants them to know, the Israelites were very blessed with all the prophets God sent. But today, we have, from beginning to end, God's word, all in one place. People don't want.
Okay, what other problems does lack of knowledge cause? We've already talked about this. I had immaturity. And we've talked the whole time about unfaithfulness. And all this we've talked about, this is one place I also had, being deceived. If we don't have knowledge, how are we going to know we're being deceived? What did y'all have? What else?
Well, you know, we've been talking about spiritual things. physical, in our physical realm, in a social realm, and all, you know, there's problems when God's wisdom and understanding is not followed. There's all kinds of social issues. But one of the things that I put down was Isaiah 8:12. It talks about fear and dread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many people in this world are just afraid of everything. You know, whether it's this war, or whether it's the economy, or whether it's, you know, not being loved, or what, you know, whatever. Losing their job. They're so afraid. And they're just driven by that fear. Well, God's Word gives us comfort in that we don't have to be afraid. No matter what this life brings, He'll see us through it, you know, in whatever way. We may have to be content with what He says. But like Paul, with a thorn in the flesh, but we don't have to be scared unless we miss the mark and His Word tricks our heart. Then we better be afraid.
You know, but that brings to my mind what's going on now in the economy about people that don't have God, people that don't know God and have no excuse. They're just what you're saying. They're worried. They're afraid. They don't, you know, they're... I hear some people wondering about their next meal, next month, and all that. But that you said it right there. We know God. We don't have to be afraid of those things. We have to put our trust in Him.
The other thing I put down is they call evil good and good evil. Look at our world. And look what they're calling good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just that's the way our moral character has gotten.
Sandra, it's not only that, it's in our own lives. Our marriages are a mess if we don't know God's Word and we don't know how to live. You see that all the time. People, they don't, there's no order in the home because they don't have God's Word. We have abortion today because people don't have God's Word. We have murders today that are rampant because people don't. So even in our physical lives, it's a mess. Because if we live by God's Word, our physical lives will have order and peace. Even in this, I mean, there are people, there are Christians that I know that are so worried about things that they're just distraught. And you try to tell them, God's in control. God knows what's going on over in the war and here in our country. There's no need losing any sleep over it. I can't do anything about it. But they're just almost ill. Because they're just so concerned about what's going on in this world and protecting themselves and building up enough food, having enough ammunition, and, you know, all this stuff. And you just think,
yeah.
You know, I want to go in the first wave if the war comes here. Thank you. I'm fine with that. Of course, they tell me, well, you may not, and then what are you going to do? I don't know. I'll worry about that.
Okay, our time is almost up, but I wanted to mention Priscilla. Where would Priscilla have been if she had not worked on her applied knowledge to her life and taken the time to get knowledge and learn about Christ? She was such a big help to her husband. Her story is in Acts 18. And she even sailed with Paul when he went to Syria. And wasn't it Apollos? I read this, I forgot to write it down, where they taught him. All he knew was about the baptism of John, and together they taught him. Well, what if she had not applied herself? What if she had made excuses? What if she had said, I'm busy, I don't have time? And there's many people we could study about in the Bible with that, but... and then Pat mentioned earlier about excuses. Luke 14 is a parable of the people that made one excuse after another. And so, God's not going to be interested in our excuses if we think we're going to have excuses for not studying and not gaining in knowledge. So I just wanted to mention that. Okay, that's everything I had.
Jesus saw that, and He was in His ministry. And He even said, they are not sheep without a shepherd. And He began to teach them. That's the answer. Jesus saw it. and they're just out there roaming. They didn't have anybody to lead them to good waters. They didn't have anybody to protect them. They didn't have anything. Jesus said they're like sheep without shepherd. And he became the good shepherd. So, you know, we can take his lead, you know, and that's what it's best.
Thank you very much for all your really good comments. I appreciate it. It helps us.